it's Elizabeth McGann, Drop the Weight Podcast.
Let me do it.
Hi, it's Elizabeth, and today's podcast is a special one. Megan Bryans is here. I brought her on today because for the last 15 years, I've been on a mission to decode the messages our body gives us in the form of symptoms and dis-ease, and also what to do about it. I wanted to talk with Megan because I have so much respect for her work and the tools she uses to help her clients heal. Megan and I first met in New York City, where we were both practitioners at the renowned Soho Sanctuary, a boutique all-women's spa in Soho. Now based out of Bend, Oregon, Megan is breaking new ground as an organic intelligence coach, energy worker, and massage therapist, developing into a new specialty called sexological bodywork training. I believe her insights into how emotional trauma manifests through the body and how it may ultimately be relieved will be of as much real value and interest to you as it was for me. Without further ado, please welcome the extraordinary Megan Bryans.
Hello, Megan.
Hey, Liz. Good to see you.
It's so cool. We were colleagues in New York City in Soho Sanctuary back in the day, younger than we are now. And it's so cool to reconnect. And I just love your work. I was a fan back in the day, just how much you honor the body and your just continued lifelong learning about energy work, somatic work, all the stuff you do. I love this organic intelligence coaching. I can't wait to hear more about that. I want to just dive in. Like, we're living in such a time of emotions on this planet, so much transition, disruption, and it affects our body. How do our emotions live in our body? How do they show up? What have you learned?
I feel like I look at it at least two different levels, and I'm sure there's a multiplicity, right? There's one way that it's just nervous system response. Like, how is our nervous system responding to the information that's coming in? Does it go into a level of excitement? Does it go into a level of, it could be like excitement, pleasurable excitement. It'd be excitement, anxiety, excitement, right? Or it could be like a freeze, like, oh, I need to shut down and disassociate because that's too much, you know, for me to be with right now. That lives throughout the nerves in our body and affects how the tissues contract, expand, hold their kind of state of tension, so to speak.
What do you see a lot of if we just dive right in? Like in my work, I see people, they have like SIBO, they have irritable bowel syndrome, they have just pain, they have, maybe they'll have a fibroid in their uterus. They're just like these different things that present themselves. How is that emotion? Help me with that.
Yeah, for me, often it's about tension. It's about that guarding tension, freeze, fear. Sometimes it's repressed anger. And so there's just a contraction that goes on, and that prevents blood flow and lymph flow and for the physiological processes to really do their thing in good balance. So it restricts that process and can create issues in those parts of the body where that's happening.
Yeah. And you help people. Tell me more about organic intelligence coaching, because what I love about that is it seems deeper than just, I'm going to help you relieve this tension.
Yeah. What I love about organic intelligence is that there's a trust that in our systems, there's an inherent knowing or wisdom of how to come into greater balance and coherence. It just may have been sidetracked a bit from certain impacts and events. So it's like, oh, I had this hard event happen. I need to be on guard for that. So I'm going to keep looking out for what's wrong. Steve Hoskinson, who's a developer of organic intelligence, calls it the what's wrong attention. So we get really hooked into that. And it can be kind of interesting to start listening to people and be like, oh, they keep going back to the complaining or keep going back to the worry. I've actually gotten a lot more compassion around that for people because I'm like, oh, that's just the way their nervous system is skewed right now.
Yeah.
And so as a coach, we're like, okay, we're going to listen to that and respect the feelings that are showing up and the ideas and the concerns. But usually there's something that shows up that shows a little shift out. It might be a moment where they're speaking to something that's really meaningful and tender to them and gives them a little sense of like softness. Or there might be a moment of like, oh, this was really calming. And it can be just a moment. So as a coach, you're like, just kind of like, oh, you tag that. And then you just might bring it up later. So you're feeding it back into the system so the person can receive it. And you might then add a layer of like, maybe just check in with your body. See how you notice that, like what's in your body now that you think about being by that waterfall that you love so much.
Yeah. a shift from what's wrong to maybe something that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And how that can show up in the body. I'm doing a manifesting challenge right now, which we could say manifesting is a fun word to describe how we focus. And we're manifesting positive, negative, and mixed bag all the time. We get what we focus on. And so what I'm hearing what you're saying is that you said that looking out, noticing what's wrong, that's a part of the symptom showing up.
It's the way the nervous system is organizing and creating a perceptual lens in our life, in a sense. There might be a way of just perceiving or preparing, like something's going to go wrong, or I'm going to pay attention to this thing that seems off because I want to make sure I'm prepared. But then it prevents the system from like doing what you said, like noticing like, oh, but then there's this positive aspect that's available here right now that could be actually really supportive and balancing for me.
Yeah. Would you go so far to say that if you are constantly looking out for what could hurt you or what's wrong or what you're conditioned to see as I need to protect and guard against, that that could lock in a symptom, could lock in pain?
I think in the sense where I can speak to it is like the body goes into a guarding place, right? Because it's like, okay, this happened or this is a concern and I'm going to protect myself. So I'm just going to stay in this tightened state. And then that restricts, that may cause pain or cause dysregulation in the digestive system or the reproductive system. So yes, that's where the kind of connection can happen, or almost like a feedback loop that happens.
So the way what you expect could continue to show up if you're guarding, if you look at the world as a place that I am fearful and I am worried that this is going to happen because it's happened before, the body will anticipate that. How do you see? Because I really want to get into this, because I'll just share a little bit that what I notice is that people are attached even to their symptoms. People present in a certain way and they seem like it's a part of their identity even.
Right.
And if you're attached to your symptoms, if it's become even a part of your identity, it might be hard to let it go.
Mm-hmm. That certainly resonates, especially with my history as a massage therapist, because people come in, they're like, my shoulder hurts. Can you fix my shoulder? So there's kind of a tension because it's like, well, I want your shoulder to feel better, but I realize it's part of a whole system in your body, a whole structural system in your body, a whole emotional state, a whole nervous system. You know, and if we just go to what I call like the hot spot, that might not be helpful. It's not going to change because that's the most guarded place, right? And even though it's going, help me, ow, ow, help me, let's look at the bigger picture and see what's supportive, where it is more easy, like easier in the body to be at ease and receive touch and soften and speak to things that are like, again, pulling those threads of like, where's the support? Where's the nourishment? Where's the grounding? So we create like a scaffolding in a sense to then be able to let that, let's say that part in the shoulder go, oh, I can let go now. I don't have to hold and protect myself. So it is it's a process of like expanding the picture for the person to then help ultimately address the part of them that's really bothering them.
Let's talk a little bit about why this work is so important and how you came to it. I'll share just a tiny bit about my journey and how it even evolved into, it comes with an age even. So having recently, I think we share this in common, recently turned 50 and we're rocking it. We're making it look good, Megan. It was a big doorway that I walked through. And a lot of it came with trusting myself more and really feeling more comfortable in my skin and wanting to actualize and bring my gifts out in new ways. And when we reconnected the other day and we're talking about what we're going to talk about today, you shared that there was also something about turning 50 that opened something up for you. And menopause, that transition from, you know, that people don't even like to talk about sometimes. It seems like there's stigma associated with it, but just that time in their life that we could say is anywhere from some women late 30s all the way into maybe the late 50s. It's a large time and it's a beautiful time. How have you navigated through kind of turning 50 and what that's done for you in a way that informs your work?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because in my late 40s, I literally felt like I was being dragged down a tunnel, like I didn't have any control, you know, and I was like, I'm in the perimenopause tunnel and I'm helpless. You know what I mean? My hormones were doing their thing and I was just like, and this is happening. And I felt kind of out of control, but there was something about landing into 50 where I was like, okay, yep, this is where I am. This is reality now. There's just kind of like a grounding for me, like a landing. I think for me, one of the things that's meant is that I just am finally willing to speak more to what I've learned for the past 20 plus years. It's something I wanted to share for a long time, like all throughout my 40s, just didn't really happen. But now it's like, yeah, I'm ready to say something.
You're ready to really use your voice.
Yeah.
To own your gifts, even. Let's talk more about them. Could you briefly explain the three main components of your practice? I know there's the somatic and spiritual work. There's you do some pelvic and abdominal healing. Mm-hmm. And then there's the organic intelligence coaching. There's so much and there's so much there. I love it. Tell me more about it.
Ultimately, it comes from a place where I feel like everybody's medicine is unique, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're all unique individuals manifested in these bodies, you know, unique spirits, unique bodies. And so I'm there to help facilitate the way into the medicine and to see where it can be integrated. So throughout all those modalities, there's conversation. So whether we're talking through coaching and incorporating tarot cards, or we're doing body work and I'm laying my hands on people, we are in conversation. So I am one, listening to them to see what's important. Again, what I spoke to earlier about like what's supportive for them and what's nourishing. And then also I've got my intuitive channel open. So I am listening to any messages that might come through and then offering that to the person and just leaving it to them to see what resonates with them and how they want to take that into themselves.
I love it. Tell me more about that intuitive channel you have open, because that's one of the things that I am listening to more. And it's also something, you know, you're such a studied, educated, I love your dedication to lifelong learning. When you guys go to her website, you'll be blown away with the amount of study and care and education you've put into all the work you do. And we live in a world that glorifies Western science. And sometimes there's a certain language that you need to fit into that. There's a lane you need to stay in. And it can take courage to talk more about, for example, an intuitive channel you have opened up and messages you may have to share.
Yeah.
And how that might even work in a clinical setting or in a private practice. Yeah. How do we navigate that? How have you navigated that?
That has been a process. It has been a process. I mean, I still, like, just this past year, renamed my body work somatic and spiritual body work. And I was like, oh my God, is that okay? You know, but I was just like, no, this is my truth. Like, I just got to name it as it is. From my family upbringing of being a heavily scientific, that's reality, whatever is deduced by scientific research. So it's been a huge thing for me to really own and be okay with, like, no, there's intuition, there is magic. And that's actually an essential part of our life planet, our life being, you know, everything that exists. So it's, how do I say this? It's real, and it's where a lot of the juice is, you know? So
How did yours develop? Yeah. Tell me more. When did you start noticing it and cultivating it?
Yeah. So 20 plus years ago, my first bodywork training was polarity therapy, which is energy balancing work. And immediately in that training, we were taught to how to work with images or words that show up while we work. Cause our teacher's like, when you do energy work, that often happens. And she wanted to give us a means to be able to communicate that. And what I really loved about the way we were taught is that we don't deliver a message like some prophet, you know, being like, and here is the message, and now take this and, you know, bless you on your way. Like, it's an offering of like, you know what, I'm just seeing this image, and the sense I get around it is like this, and I'm wondering how that lands for you. So it's a beautiful way of giving the work. Sometimes I do have a direct message though, and I'll just give the client, I'm like, you know what, this is just coming through, and I'm just going to say it. I've been thinking about this, Liz, because, you know, as much as I love psychics and like have seen psychics and go to tarot readers, in the work that I do with clients, I find it most satisfying when the person can really integrate it themselves and it makes sense to them, and they weave it into their understanding of themselves. Like, I found if I just like deliver information, it's not as effective ultimately in the long term.
I agree. And similarly, I agree that when you get information, which I also receive, I pose it more in the form of a question. Mm-hmm. So it acts almost as a query in their system, and they can then ask themselves if there's anything true there and what they find is for them. Mm-hmm. And that's really interesting. So you shared with me that your intuitive guidance is an offering that you may present.
Yeah.
And then how does the client work with it?
So I'll often ask if it just makes it resonates with them, or how does that land in them? You know, usually in a meaning kind of way. I also will give feedback too. Like sometimes I'll say, oh, I'm just noticing, this is actually more in the case when they have said something, but there might be a response in the tissue, like the tissue suddenly releases, you know, it's like, oh, well, that's information. And the client might not be aware of that because they're processing at a mental level, but I'm listening on that physical level. So I might also be like, hey, and I'm just noticing that then the tissue in your hip here relaxes when you think about that or hear those words. Or
interesting. So you're really noticing a response in the tissue based on words, thoughts.
Yeah. Meaning.
Meaning.
Yeah.
A real correlation.
Oh, yeah, totally. Absolutely.
That's really interesting. So in your work, do you help people shift out of any, we'll call it mindset things? Like what I've noticed in my work is that people get very locked into not only physical responses, but their mental constructs. If they look at the world in a certain way, and as you're noticing in the tissues, there's a tension because of it. Is there in polarity or in energy work or organic intelligence, is there a way to help reframe any chronic thought patterns even?
I'll say this, and I'm also just getting better at saying this with my clients, because I kind of assume things, and I'm like I have to remember, oh, I have to remind or let people know. And I talk about, in general, when the tissue tightens, there's self-protection going on. And when the tissue softens and releases, that means the nervous system is feeling more at ease. So then later, if there's talking about something or I mention something and I feel the tissue release, I might say, oh, hey, and I'm just noticing as you talk about doing this particular family trip in this way with these parameters, your diaphragm is softening. And that's real bodily information, nervous system information, to be like, oh, it seems like that those parameters will help your nervous system feel safe in that family trip that you're going to make.
And as you work with someone's nervous system, I feel like the nervous system is such a big buzzword nowadays, how to regulate the nervous system and how to just, I refer to it as creating safety in the body. You know, when I'm overwhelmed, I'll notice, like, I've now been able to identify it as almost like a shaking in my core. Like it can feel like a tremor even. Sometimes it's subtle and sometimes it'll actually be shaking. And what I realize is that's usually when I'm overstimulated, overwhelmed, and I can clock it a little earlier before it goes into a full on, like I need to step into the other room and lay down and breathe, shift it. It can just be like, oh, wow, what am I doing? Where's my breath? My nervous system, you know, and how to regulate it through the various tools that I have. Tell me more about, I think that's a relatively new construct for people, how to regulate their nervous system. Like, what does that even mean? What does that mean for you? Nervous system. How you might work with it.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say that I'm an expert, but I know there's a couple things that are helpful. Like one, which is foundational organic intelligence coaching, is orientation, with the idea that if our environment is safe and okay enough, we can take some time to just notice it, just kind of get a little quiet. And it might be visually, it could be also auditory, you know, through felt sense. And just kind of take something in. And I tell clients that I find it helpful sometimes just to name something. It just helps my, like you spoke about that focus, just like get a little more keyed in. So like I'm looking at some plants here and I just might say like, oh, fuzzy to myself, you know? And, you know, earlier I talked about the what's wrong attention. That's a moment to hop off that ride and get into a different ride, so to speak, nervous system, and just be like, oh, fuzzy green plant. Yeah. And then just for a bit, I'm off that, oh my gosh, I've got all these things to do. What's going on in the world? So that helps the nervous system come more into into less of an anxious, activated place, let's say. So for me, that's one tool that's really important. There's just lots of physical things, shaking, rapping, you know, holding oneself. I'm also really big and co-regulation with other people.
Tell me more about that. What does that mean to co-regulate?
It means there's something going on in everyone's nervous system where they kind of get in sync in a sense or entrain with one another. And there can be calming or a level of enjoyment or pleasure that can start occurring. Like I go to the singing group on a regular basis. I was just at it yesterday. It's a beautiful co-regulating practice, you know, where we're singing together, we're harmonizing together. And there's just something that's really easing and grounding for me in that experience.
And singing is so beautiful with the throat and the throat chakra, where I feel like people hold a lot of tension. They can hold a lot of trauma, even like the voice and your expression in the world. I know polarity, and maybe I shouldn't say I know this, but I was always fascinated with polarity, and I know you've studied that in depth. Does polarity work with the chakra system?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Tell me more about that, just because I find chakras fascinating. And I think people don't necessarily understand the chakra system. How would singing, like what you're just talking about, co-regulating, using the voice, how would that work with the throat chakra or the whole chakra system even in a supportive way?
I think it's just getting energy moving, right? Mm. Just getting energy moving and through different kind of registers. And so there's a variety of movement going on, both on that physical level and energetic level. Mm. And like you said, there can be like a shutdown or a closing. Sometimes chakras get just filled with energetic gunk too, from all sorts of phenomena. It might be certain thought patterns. It might be projections from people. So there's something about honing into those particular centers and moving energy through that can create, you know, start breaking up and dispersing.
Yeah. I often tell people to sing in the shower, sing in the car, sing. It can just open, like whether you have like a thyroid issue, Hashimoto's, or just, you know, you just feel a little blocked with your voice. Singing is such a powerful tool. And I know polarity, and again, I shouldn't say I know, but I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that polarity also has a beautiful, there's like a food program within it, how to eat.
Yeah, there is. It's actually a whole system. It's a holistic system. So it's like movement and food and nutrition and the energy work.
Woo! All right. Well, this is Drop the Weight podcast is about how to drop the emotional weight, the spiritual weight, and the physical weight, though. I often work with people as a holistic nutritionist in a medical center, and people often come to me for physical weight loss and are always wanting to know the best way to eat. And there's never a one size fits all from where I'm concerned. That being said, what I love about energy work, and I love that you do energy work and have such an appreciation of somatics and all the things you do, I'm so curious how you relate to food and what you, with polarity, what you would consider a good way to eat to balance the body.
Oh, wow. So I personally am drawn to Ayurveda. It's just a system that really speaks to me. So I follow that for myself personally as much as I can and do find it helpful.
Which you define as Ayurveda, my understanding. We did a wonderful podcast a little way back all about Ayurveda, you know, the science of life. And it's a seasonal approach to eating.
And constitutional, right? So you're looking at your constitution to see what kind of foods serve it best. How does it metabolize best? What makes it run well? What bogs it down? What makes it too hot? You know, so you're trying to find the balance that sits your unique constitution.
And you follow that yourself? Are you?
As much as I can. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
As a, you know, I don't have a nutritional license, so I don't advise my clients on that, you know, but personal practice. Yeah. That's what I do.
Yeah. And I think often what's beautiful, and you know, with what I do, I'm rarely telling people what to do with food. I feel like there is a natural intelligence. People know what they like. They know what works best. And often if you're eating a mostly natural whole foods diet, you know, you can kind of fine tune and listen for what works best and asking the right questions. And I love that you listen to the tissues. Do you coach people on how they can listen to their own bodies more?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's partly what why I name that during a session. So it helps bring a person's attention there. And then, you know, like recently with a client, I was just inviting, like, can you feel the temperature of my touch? Or can you feel the weight of my touch? Right. So I was helping her bring that practice of self interoception, interoception, to be able to feel sensation in the body.
Ah,
so yeah, that is part of what I do in my work.
Yeah.
I want them to be able to do that in their life outside the room, right? I want them to be able to be like, oh, when I have this thought of throwing this party, I notice my chest gets really tight. Oh, that's a signal. What do I need to know about this party coming up that I'm planning to throw? Maybe there's some things that will bring a little more ease in planning it for me, you know?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Beautiful. Tarot. I have loved the tarot since I was probably 12 years old. I always found it fascinating. Mm-hmm. I was always very drawn to the cards. And what I love about it is we could say this, it accesses the subconscious mind, the archetypes, all of it, our collective unconscious. I love that you bring tarot into your work. Tell me more about that and how that works.
Yeah, I use it almost like a Rorschach test, you know, where it's like, I just offer the image. I do draw a card while we're in conversation, so it's in tune with whatever the person's speaking to. And then I will show them the card and then just ask them to see what they immediately notice and then see where that takes them. Like, does that cause a feeling in their body, or is there a thought? Or sometimes it's like recently I had a reading and somebody just noticed the animal beside this figure. And it turns out she has a really meaningful connection with all animals. So we just started talking about that, you know, whereas somebody else looking at the card would notice something completely different. They might be like, oh, the cape is really interesting. And that color that really stands out. And I might just say, well, what is it about that color? And it's like, oh, it's just like dark forest green. And, you know, I just really love being in dark forests and it feels really safe to me. And so we just go with that and see where that takes them.
Beautiful. I love that you bring that in. So Megan, tell me more. Your work is an evolution of yourself. It's both mental, emotional, spiritual. It's an evolution. What are you most excited about? What would you like to do more of? Where is your work taking you?
Yeah, I'm always interested in learning more, right? Like, I'm really loving incorporating tarot and organic intelligence coaching right now. That's a lot of fun. Always love doing energy work. I actually really want to do sexological bodywork training. That's the next one for me. Yeah.
Break it down. Say that one more time. Make sure I hear it.
Sexological bodywork.
Tell me more.
Yeah. So it can encompass quite a bit. The aspect that I'm really interested in is helping women get more embodied into their pelvises, into the whole region that's there, and the soft tissues and the vulva and the vagina, the perineum. So it's part of the training in sexological bodywork is helping people tune in to that part of their bodies and become more embodied, and then also start being able to learn boundaries, what gives them pleasure, gives them voice, and to be able to articulate those things. And that's where I'm really excited to go next.
I love that. And what called you to that? What problems does that solve? So someone who would be like, oh, that's really interesting. I need that. How would they know they needed that?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, because there's a lot of shutdown. Just when I was talking about the contraction in the tissues, there's a numbing out and a dissociation that happens a lot in that particular area due to birth trauma or sexual boundary violation or, you know, birth loss. Like, it can just cover a lot, right? Pelvic floor trauma. So some people are just so shut off, they don't even know there's nothing, there's a problem there, right? But then there might be a sense of like, I know I'm just not connected down there, or that there's pain and distress. Or I was just talking with a friend, like we were talking about how many times have we given our bodies away in a sexual act and like not really honored ourselves. And I would love to give women, identified people who really want to learn those skills so they can honor their body, you know?
So important. I love that you're exploring that. It's going to help a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And let's close even with a look back as, you know, women that you and I, having transitioned into this beautiful turning 50 recently, I always think about my younger self and what I wish I could even tell her about the journey. And there are younger women listening that perhaps are fearing, or their bodies are beginning to change, their hormones are shifting. It feels maybe uncertain and maybe even stigmatized to move into, we'll say, you know, turning 50 and beyond that perimenopause time. What would you love your younger self to know that you know now?
When you first asked that, the first thing that came to me is just, you are so brave. You know, I mean, I feel that way. I actually love working with women in their 30s because they're usually in process of coming into themselves. Like looking back, like my 30s were really hard, really, really hard. And looking back on it, I feel like, oh, you were so brave though. So brave to be with what was going on and finding your way through it. Love and honoring, man. I mean, I feel like at this age, that's just what I feel in my bones. Like love and honoring. I want to give love and honoring to all the elder women and, you know, women in this perimenopausal, menopausal stage, and to myself, and receive that and give.
And I love that, and encourage them to know that the best years, you get to live these years, and that there's a lot of wisdom that drops in. And I see so much wisdom in you, so much growth. And thank you again for being here. And hope to talk soon.
Yeah, thanks so much, Liz. Take care. Like we do it.